This is the Pick of the Bunch by Basic Bananas, where we share the pick of the bunch when it comes to marketing, business, and people. Welcome back. In today's episode, I am talking with Chandra Moran. She is one of our Clever Bunch facilitators here at Basic Bananas. She has amazing experience in both business mentoring, marketing strategy and mentoring, and mindset. So a really unique individual, and she shares, we have a conversation around success principles. So she shares a framework which you could apply to, well, I believe your business in general, even your personal life, and every specific strategy within your business. So even within specific marketing strategies, for example, around how to be more focused to take action, how to be flexible, define what's working and what's not, and how even your physiology will affect your psychology. So I'm sure you'll enjoy the show. Welcome to the call, Chandra. How are you?
Hey, Christo. I am really well.
Excellent. Well, we're looking forward to, I'm looking forward to having you on the show, as I'm sure our listeners are as well. So we share a lot around marketing and things to do in business and practical stuff. And oftentimes this whole, you know, the around mindset and things gets forgotten about. So Super cool show today. And you're a bit of a master in this area. So would love to, let's just rip straight in with to the whole thing of like, why should we even be, I guess, looking at success principles? Why does this apply to a business owner? Why
would Yeah, nice. And look, I think it is that sometimes it would be easy to dismiss this sort of topic as a bit of that light and fluffy, and I just want to get into the nuts and bolts of running the business and what's this got to do with anything.
Yes.
I think that there is a trap with that because you know, basically success principles, you're running with your principles now, but they're very much influencing your behavior and what's the action that you're taking and not taking. And therefore that hugely influences the results that you get as a business owner. And because most often these principles are unconscious, you're just running with the same old rinse and repeat busyness pattern, and that you're not necessarily able to maximize your efficiency and things like that. So having a bit of awareness around what the success principles are and how you can practically apply them in your business actually can change and improve the results that you're getting. You know, there's that quote from Einstein about, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Yes.
Whereas having an approach of, well, actually, what am I trying to achieve? And is the attitude, the mindset that I'm bringing, is that helping me or hindering me, you know?
Mm.
One of the other things is that, you know, we've, all of us as business owners have heard it before about, you know, the impact of all of the demands on a business owner, that I think it was a Huffington Post had an article a little while ago saying that a survey or study that they were reviewing said that the stresses of running a small business are twice as high as maintaining a healthy, positive relationship, like with a partner or, you know, or spouse, and three times as stressful as raising children, and almost four times as stressful as managing your own money, your own personal finances.
Wow.
It's like, oh my God, when you think about it like that, you're like, okay, cool. So it's not just me.
What have I done?
This was not in the brochure.
Yeah.
And again, you know, the Australian Bureau of Statistics often does these studies, but one that I was reading saying that, you know, more than 60% just stop operating. They just don't keep operating within the first 3 years. And there's a guy who was quoted in that article who's some fancy accountant. And one of the things that he said that can impact that, you know, yes, there's cash flow and those kinds of issues, but often what he saw was that the business owners get very much caught up in just the day-to-day and they don't pay enough attention to the longer term, the bigger picture, and that, I guess, that bigger approach of what actually they're bringing as a business owner beyond just the day-to-day business as usual. And so I just think that, you know, as a business owner, if you want your business to grow, you want your business to be successful, you want to just find out and do whatever you can to maximize your effectiveness, the effectiveness of your team, to reduce the risks of all those downsides. Yeah. So that's a big thing for me about why I'm so passionate about ensuring that this is part of any business owner's, approach to how they run their business and the business of their life.
Yeah, definitely. It's huge, isn't it? Like people say stuff like, I don't know, so people have opinions on some humans or everyone's created equal, maybe everyone's not, and there's arguments either way. However, there's definitely, I've heard people say things like, if you took everything away from, say, Richard Branson and, four other people or something and put them on the streets,
yeah,
who would be likely to, someone who's never run a business, someone who's, been employed their whole life versus Richard Branson, who would be more likely to grow a successful business pretty quickly and have themselves back on their feet? The answer's kind of like a given, isn't it? Like, yeah, well, I'll put my bets on Richard Branson, of course. So what's going on there? Obviously he's got the experience and things, but even if you kind of somehow took that away and reset that, if you could reset his experience, there'd still be something within his mindset. Like if you took away that, he might know some strategies, of course, throughout the years, but if you took that away, even there's something going on in his mind, isn't there, which would just push to climb to a whole new heights that might not be in exactly everybody else, for example.
Yeah. And I think, it is that there's a certain, there's the sort of definition of success principles, or what a principle actually is, and it's from Wikipedia, so it must be true.
Oh, yes.
Is that a principle is a fundamental truth or a proposition that serves as a foundation for a system of belief, behavior, and a chain of reasoning. And so when you start thinking about a principle on its own, it's informing beliefs that you have that then influence your behavior. And so if in that example, what Richard Branson is going to bring to pretty much, I imagine, any situation he's in is a different set of principles and a different way of looking at his circumstances and what he then is able to see as an opportunity of how he could add value. And I think that's where that core difference comes from, is that, a mindset is a set of established beliefs or assumptions that you have, and along with the principles that you're operating by, they determine what you see as possible, what you even notice, and how you can see in any given circumstance how you can make the best of that, or you just wallow in self-pity, or you only see all the crappy stuff. And I think they're the things that are really at play when you see someone who's really successful in whatever business they're in or whatever their field of endeavor is. They're bringing a different kind of filter to what they're seeing around them. I think that's the big difference.
Mm, definitely. I can see that. And of course, there must be something to, obviously the drive within people, or maybe it's drive, or maybe it's just seeing hurdles as not as such a bigger deal as others. Because, there's this is probably something you might cover in more detail, but someone sees a challenge ahead. Some people kind of rear up and think, brilliant, bring it on.
Yeah.
Whereas others are like, I couldn't possibly even attempt that or try and accomplish this thing in front of me.
Yes. And it comes down to that. What are you making that situation mean? And it makes me think of, it's a slight tangent, but Professor Carol Dweck, who's a professor at Stanford University, she's basically dedicated her whole professional life to studying mindset, and she was the the research team. She and her team really focused on growth mindset and identifying the distinction between a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. And without going too far down that rabbit hole, what they define as a growth mindset comes down to whether or not you believe that your intelligence, your capability is fixed, and that you're either a smart person, a capable person, or you're not. And if you're not, then you're just never going to be. And that what comes about is that they've learnt that by acknowledging effort in achieving a result, that's actually where the growth comes from. It's not about just finding things that come to you easily, because often we don't value things that come to us easily as much as the things that we had to really work for, or that, there were challenges we had to overcome to get there. So I think that's part of it too, is that, are you someone that approaches a situation with a mentality of, this is all just too hard, or as you said, this is a really kind of interesting, inspiring challenge, and like, oh, what's the way I'm going to, you know, resolve this?
Yeah.
And that those two attitudes create a very, very different path of options in front of you.
Yeah, pretty amazing. So what do you think? So, like, let's think of a business owner or maybe someone, or like maybe a good example of someone using or applying success principles to improve their own success or to have grown their business, or you might even have an example of someone who was like battling and then they turn things around, or whatever comes to mind for you with that.
Yeah. And look, I mean, there's a lot, but you know, what comes to mind for me now is, and I guess it's two, it's a contrast. One is a friend of mine who has literally spent, I reckon, the better part of 15 years talking about wanting to start his own business and being frustrated with his situation in life and all that comes with that story. But all he has done for a very, very, very long time is just talk about it and not actually do anything. And it gets that point where it's like, dude, you got to do something about this or shut the hell up. And so I think with that, unfortunately, he's bought a business and he is doing the hard yards because he's in that early couple of years. But his attitude to it is really interesting to watch because he's had somebody already approach him to buy this business that he's only been in less than 6 months. And he's just like, no, I'm here now and I want to really make this work for me. And so that attitude is very different to what he, you know, was shopping around for the last 10 years or more. Another one is one of our Clever Bunch members, actually, who had a situation where he's got a small team, so fairly lean operation, but small team with people doing key roles. And he had one of his team basically just resign out of the blue. He didn't see it coming at all. He didn't have any contingency really about succession planning or anything. And in that moment when we were talking about it, you know, he said, you know, it just was such a shock. And we talked through about, okay, where are you at now? And he agreed that his approach was going to be that he didn't want to just rush into replacing the role, that he thought it's an opportunity for him to actually see firsthand where that role was at the time, what the business really needed from that role, so that he didn't just replace what was there, you know, with somebody new just doing the same thing. And so then the next time I spoke with him, he was so I would use the word elated, actually. He was,
nice.
You know, he was elated with that choice because although he'd had to put in a few extra hours of, you know, getting his head around and covering the core functions of this role, what he shared was that he had learnt a couple of things that he was able to apply in a different way than what she had previously been doing, and he was getting better results in less time. And so he was refining what they actually really needed in that role. So potentially when he does decide to replace the role, it will be probably a half, like a part-time role rather than full-time. And the systems that are in place now are more up to spec because he's had that opportunity to review it from his own experience. And I think what I love about that example is, you know, the attitude that he applied in that moment was that he could have whinged about it. And there's plenty of business owners that I have met who would have spent a long time just whinging about how this is unfair and the impact it was going to have and right. But he just kind of got on with it and he saw it as what's the opportunity here, and through that actually improved the bottom line results for his business as well as the forward planning in terms of either if he buys a full-time person, he's actually got, you know, half a role that he could get to do other things that the other role didn't previously do, or he's only covering, you know, half a headcount instead of a full-time role. So I think that, as an example, I really love as someone being able to turn that sort of a situation around because of the attitude he brought to it rather than any external kind of circumstance.
Absolutely. Yeah, could have kind of been down on it and cried about it for months if you wanted to, but he's actually turned it around and had a great result.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what – oh, you go for it. You're about to say.
I was just going to say that one of the things that a lot of people associate with success principles links to the author, that Jack Canfield, who his book Success Principles. And essentially the book and his approach boils down to three main parts. One is if you want to be successful in anything, in life, in business, then the first thing is you have to take 100% responsibility for everything that happens in your life. Or as I've heard it said before, 100% responsibility for your results and your non-results. And that straight away, if you, it's not nice, it's not comfortable.
No.
Sometimes you would love to be able to blame anything or anyone outside of yourself, but as a business owner, you have to show up, and you have to, if you show up with that attitude, then straight away you start to go, all right, it sits with me. What are my choices? Which way do I go? That's a different kind of approach than constantly looking for external people to blame. The second thing that he talks about is that everything that you focus on, that you think about, that you engage in terms of conversations that you have and all the action that you take needs to be aligned with your highest values, what's really most important to you in your business and in your life. And you need to link and have goals that link to your values so that the action that you're taking actually fulfills what's most important to you rather than being in opposition, I guess. And the third thing, principle, I guess, is that he talks about that you have to park that habit, if you have developed it, of complaining, and to get as quickly as possible past that and into, right, how do I take action, or how do I make requests of other people to take action to help keep things moving forward? So that's essentially how he the principles that he talks about in the book, which I think apply to every business owner.
Yeah, it's a good book, isn't it? It's a good read. It's kind of, I think it's massive, isn't it? Isn't it a big lump of a book?
It's something like 60 something principles.
Okay, it's a lot.
Holy cow, which is why I like to just sort of summarize it. Like, if you don't have time to read the whole book, essentially it's these three things.
Here's the three, yeah.
But if you like reading, then yeah, great, go for it, and you know, maybe pick a couple that are your favorites.
Yeah.
And go for it.
I like what you're saying, because like with so for the listeners, Chandra, as I shared in the intro, facilitates Clever Bunch, our Clever Bunch program with us, and works with a lot of our high-level business owner members that work with us at Basic Bananas. And so through the program, we teach a lot of strategies and how to do things. And so I'm liking what you're saying there, that you've got to take ownership for results and non-results, just touching on that one, like, because oftentimes people will say, look, you know, we might say, here's a strategy to follow. Just do this. Just basically follow the steps because it works. You know, we do it day in, day out with members, and we see them get results. So there's no doubt whether it works or not. But then sometimes people say, oh, look, there's just no time in the week, or, you know, there was no time last week or something. Usually my response to that one is, well, I'm pretty sure time existed. Like, the clocks were ticking. There was time. But maybe you just didn't use that time, obviously, to get these results, which probably points on, steps on to point two too. It depends how much you want to value growth in the business, you know, if that was something that they left aside, because maybe they did spend time with the family, and that's cool, you know, if that aligns with the higher priorities. But then I guess we can't be at the end of the week saying, oh, I didn't, you know, I can't possibly grow my business because there's no time. If you want to make time, you just got to find, like, reprioritize, isn't it? Like, okay, well, look, I'm responsible.
Yeah.
So it's not that just that the clocks are responsible, or that I'm at the mercy of everything else going on around me, because otherwise we're going to never have the control to change it, are we? Like, that's why I like that point. I love that point.
And I think too, like, that, you know, what that prompts for me is that, you know, one of the things that's been said is that people can say lots of things are important to them because it sounds good, or they like to think that that thing is important. And I want my business to grow, and they say that. But the way to truly tell what is most important to somebody at a values level, because most of the time that's unconscious, is where do they spend their time and where do they spend their money? And so literally by looking at somebody's calendar or diary, where did they actually spend their time, and looking at their bank statement of, okay, how much money do they spend on training or education? How much money do they spend on dining out? If you're Mick and I, we spend quite a lot on that because it's high on our values, you know. But for other people, that would be insane, the amount that we might, you know, spend on something like that. But other people have different hobbies and things. But where you spend your time and your money is feedback to you. What must be really important to me in order for me to use the limited time resource that I've got and the current limited money resources I've got on these things. Mm. They are bubbling up. Now, again, that can be uncomfortable to admit, and I'm currently, and it is one of the strategies that we talk to the Clever Bunch members about, and so it's really important to me to be walking the talk. One of the things I started last week was doing a detailed time tracker of literally blocks of 15 to 30 minute increment. Where am I actually spending my time? Not just what's planned, but where am I spending my time? And just after doing only 1 week, and as you know, doing that for a couple of weeks is obviously going to give you greater insights. After doing 1 week, it's actually prompted some really interesting questions for me about, well, I keep saying that I want to work on X project, but I still haven't done that. So what does that suggest to me? Am I saying that project's important to me when it's really it's not? Or is there some other kind of fear or concern that's holding me back from taking the risk of moving forward? But by seeing where am I actually spending my time, it's feedback. And you can do something with that to go, right, do I really need to reprioritize what I'm doing with my time? Or do I actually need to reprioritize what I keep saying is important to me, but I'm not following it through with action? Because if you're not following through any action, then you've got to look, where's the circuit breaker? Is it actually really a goal that you want, or is it somebody else's goal that you're trying to think is important to you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's huge. That's an amazing insight. Like I love the whole thing that you've just explained. Like, where do you spend your time and your money? There'd be some spooky reality come out of that for some people. And I remember back in the day when I looked over my bank statements and I'd see Monavale Pub, like the pub up the road. Yes. Yeah. I'd had it'd be $200 every Friday and Saturday. And I was like, what on earth is going on? Yeah. But I enjoyed it, so maybe that was okay. But yeah. I love
and the amount that you would have spent, and potentially maybe still do spend in terms of anything to do with surfing.
Yeah,
because exactly. It is so integral to who you are and your happiness.
Yeah,
that's an investment that you're happy to make. Whereas somebody else might look and go, "Christo, dude, seriously." But that's where it's driven by your set of values, not somebody else's.
Yeah, our accountant looks at the travel expense column and just flips out every every report because. There's a lot of travel, but that's just exactly right. And I'm okay in saying that's a high, I like to value, and that usually that is surfing related. We're going to cool places to surf or work, work and surf or learn, continually travel and learn from someone.
As you guys are great to do, combining the two.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I love the fact that you said that. So the problem might not actually be, it might be just what you're telling yourself. Like, it might actually be that you're trying to enforce someone else's value or values or priorities onto yourself. Like, maybe if for us, if I looked at it and thought, oh, you know, I need to be spending more time, going out to dinner with my partner. Yep. If that's not for us, like if that's more that we're having the travel and thinking, but I'm feeling bad about it. Maybe it's just not a priority to me, and maybe I just need to be, it might be something that I'm trying to influence myself based on someone else, or feel like we're missing out because we don't do that or something like that, but maybe it's not the right thing. An amazing example, but you get the idea.
Yeah, and look, another example of an awesome Clever Bunch chick from Brisbane, actually, and we had this kind of a conversation a few months ago where she recognised that she was loving the program and she was really wanting to get in and apply as much as she could in terms of implementing all the strategies she's learning through the program, and she sort of hit a real flat point and she was really a bit confused about, well, what's going on here? And she shared that she'd been looking on social media and seeing other people in her industry circle on Instagram and Facebook and seeing the kind of work that they were doing with their clients. She was in the travel industry. Mm. And she really sort of like, oh, I want to do big group stuff like that. And how is that person securing that client? And I really want that. And, you know, she was really kind of in that hustle mode. And then I can't remember what it was that was the trigger for her, but she had something that made her reflect on, well, actually, what do I want? And what she realized when she started to think about that, there was one particular person in that she really felt like she was as good or if not better an agent, and that she was really beating herself up, as you know business owners can do, about not achieving as much as this person was being perceived to achieve. And then she started thinking, okay, well, that person actually has got a couple of staff they've had to hire now, so they're responsible for salaries for those people as well, and it's an office space. And, you know, there's a whole lot more financial requirements and the hours that they work are, full-time hours. Whereas at the moment I work mainly by myself and I sort of work with other contractors when I need them. And I, most of the time I'm finished work by 1 or 2 o'clock every day and I love my afternoons. And like she just listed off all these sort of things and she realized that actually this thing that she was coveting and really like going, oh, that's what I should be wanting. When she really thought about if she had that reality, how it would impact her business and the rest of her life, it was like, holy cow, I really don't want that. Mm. But it took that moment of reconnecting to actually what was most important to her. What does success look like to her? And that's the thing that, and again, if I've got time, I want to have a quick look at the five kind of steps around success principles for business owners is that's, you've got to be starting there because otherwise inadvertently we can get caught up with trying to achieve business success that it looks like in somebody else's brochure. But if that's not what you want, then don't chase it.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. It's amazing. Yeah, so let's hear these five steps. That would be awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Because so somebody might be listening going, okay, well, they might be doing well. Like, and I guess this can apply to anyone, right? So because there'll be some listeners going, yeah, well, you know, they're doing a few million a year in the business. Someone might be just starting out. Someone's completely overwhelmed because, like, everything's freaking out in their business. And then someone else is on a holiday listening to this while their business is running. So, let's just roll through the five steps because this will work for everyone, won't it, as you roll through?
Yeah, and look, the great thing is that, you know, these are completely scalable and, you know, for you as an individual and also with you as an individual into subsets, I guess, or areas of your business. So you can do it at both the sort of macro level and the more detailed. And then if you've got a big team, then these principles are ones that you want to be making sure your team are aware of and are applying in their individual roles as well. So that scalability definitely exists. So the first step of what you want to do is, as we've just said, it's knowing your outcome, knowing actually what you want to achieve and defining what does success look like for you? And so that could be in the overarching view of the business success. What does business success actually look like? And making sure you're clear on, is your picture global domination and, you know, team in, you know, multiple continents and, you know, it's that kind of a scale and you've got physical presence all over the world? Or is your version of success, it's you and a great virtual assistant and it fits in around the fact that you've got kids or whatever going on in your life. All of those, between those two scales is all valid, but it's about you working out your outcome. What are you trying to achieve? What does success look like? So that's step number one.
Awesome.
Step number two is, as much as I'm a big meditator myself, and, you know, I believe a lot of that can be impacted through the energy and the mindset that you bring to things, you actually have to take action. This is not something where you can come along and, you know, go to a great training or listen to an awesome podcast and go, wow, that was really cool. If you don't actually apply something as a result of what you've learned, then it's just accumulating knowledge for sake of knowledge and it's not going to give you the result. So you've got to actually take action. So break those things down and actually be taking consistent action. Small steps consistently taken is actually what's going to get you moving. Then once you've actually, if you've actually done the first two steps, which quite frankly, most business owners don't do very often, the third step is be curious about observing what's actually working and what's not. And to be able to notice that, because again, that back to our earlier point about not just continuing to do stuff, because let's say you've committed to a certain strategy in your business and you want to just persist with it, then sometimes there's an element of that that's great positive resilience. And then there's an element that is actually it's being a bit stupid because you're throwing time and resources after something that's just not working. So you want to be able to observe what's working and see what's not. The fourth step is once you've actually done that is to be able to have the flexibility in your approach and in your business structure to be able to do more of what's working and do less of what's not. So to be able to change and to be able to not be so rigid or, you know, pig-headed sometimes around I'm just staying with this one path and this is the path and I'm going to keep doing it no matter what. To be able to, you know, have that approach of being flexible in pivoting sometimes when you get feedback from the market or feedback from your team, you know, maybe having that element of observing what's not landing and how do we, you know, make a move on that to keep moving forward. Right. And the fifth step is to be really thinking about the combination of what's called the physiology and psychology of success. And so the physiology is literally about your physiology, your physical state of your body and your physical reality, and how are you ensuring that there is enough physical health, physical outlet that's away from the business that keeps you in a physical state that's going to support you to be in a good frame of mind. And I know there's heaps of examples of business owners that get busy, and previously they've been quite committed to some kind of exercise. They love swimming or going to the gym or whatever it might be, but it's one of the first things to fall away, whereas that's one of the things that actually can really help give you some perspective away from the business, to be making sure that you're looking after your physical body to keep you in optimal health. The other part of the physiology is your physical space that you work in. And again, it could be a massive organization with huge offices, or it could be someone's home office or whatever in between. How is your physical space setting you up for clear thinking? And, you know, is there just clutter and boxes and filing that's all piling up everywhere? Because all of that takes up a certain amount of mental space. And so for you to be thinking about the impact of your physical environment on how that's allowing you to really do focused quality work rather than be constantly, you know, shuffling things around or moving around things. There's a great TED Talk, been around for a little while now, that Amy Cuddy has done. And she, I don't know if you've seen it, where she talks about the power pose.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's a really cool one. And so her research and the team, they researched the impact of how you hold yourself physically and what happens internally from a hormone perspective. And so they identified, I think it's about five different ways of physically standing or holding yourself that have the trigger. If you do that for 2 minutes, it releases the sorts of endorphins and hormones that increase confidence. And so it's one of them is what I call like the Wonder Woman stance, where you just have your hands on your hips. I'm doing it now. Hands on your hips.
Yep,
and, I'm doing and it. Your feet kind of feet width apart, and you just stand there for 2 minutes. And in doing that, it's sending the message to your brain, oh, we're doing confidence now. Because it's very hard to feel uncertain when you're standing like that.
Yeah.
And so there's a few of them. But the TED Talk's really worth watching, even if it's just from the point of view of understanding the connection between your physical state, how you hold yourself, and how that impacts your psychology in terms of your mindset. What are you bringing to a situation? If you're constantly slumped over and you sort of closed in body language-wise, then that's going to create more of an internal, less confident kind of feeling and emotion for you. So thinking about how you apply that physical reality to impact your mindset. So the physiology and the psychology of success, how are you integrating both of those into your day-to-day work life? And what are some habits that you could introduce that are going to foster a much more positive kind of mindset that you can bring day in and day out with your team, with your clients?
Yeah, that's awesome. Huge with the team too, isn't it? You could go through every one of these steps with the team as team training and team. Like you walk into some offices and look at where the team are working, and there's some that haven't been updated in a very long time, and it feels cold and it feels boring, and it's like, what sort of work are you going to come up with in here?
Exactly.
How exciting to go into the office each day. And on that one, then that's huge, because it's fuel, it's motivation. It's like I always stand by the rule, like the goal with the team for us is always, it's like they're running their own business, and they have flexibility and they have choice and they have opinions on things. And also if they're happy, you want to look after, I always stand by the thing, it's probably been said before, but like, if one good team member is the value of five average team members, so it's okay to look after someone, you know, and make the amazing environment and give them. And then the same goes, like you've just said, I'm standing at one of our work stations at Basic Bananas headquarters, and it's the electronic standing desk, so I have it up the whole time, so I'm standing as we do this interview, and everyone around the office has the standing desk, so they can go up and down as they please, because the same thing goes, yeah, even if, you know, the physiology of sitting there writing an email, you know, you really want to put some energy into the work or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, they like to stand up and move around or get around. But that's just one of the points. That's awesome. I can see how this can be applied to, you know, the entire teams, to every individual. I'm sure everybody listening, this might be one of those episodes you need to rewind, and if you're in the middle of driving or something like that, so you can jot down the points, and you know, maybe keep it as a little bit of a rule, because we all get busy, we all get looser on our structure as we go, and we overload ourselves with work, so it could be a good one to re-listen through those. I think, and that's beautiful to for the listeners to like have some nice kind of clear steps of what to do. So
yeah,
this has been awesome, Chandra. Thank you very much. Is there anything, am I cutting you off here? Is there anything you wanted to throw out as a final word? The most impressive thing you've ever said?
Oh, wow. Pressure. I mean, obviously, we could probably talk for hours about
this.
I know,
I'm just throwing you on the spot there, of course.
I think it is one of the things that what you've touched on there is that we all need reminding sometime, and sometimes yep. it can just be,
well done.
I'm feeling yep. overwhelmed or something's not working. To be able to literally just step back, create a little bit of space and ask yourself, do I know my outcome? What am I trying to achieve here? And then what action have I taken? Then observing what's working, that's working, let's do more of that. What's not working, how do we stop doing that and do something else? Since, you know, like literally to yep. go through the steps.
Awesome.
You can do it for, if you're creating systems in your business, the same thing. What are we trying to achieve through this system? What action is currently being taken? What's working? Like, it literally, you can apply it in so many different ways, but you've got yeah. to make it important enough to do. So I guess that's the big thing, is to prioritize this, of just giving yourself a little bit of space to go, right, what am I not happy with, or what do I want to improve, and how do I apply, you know, even just a couple of these principles that we've talked about today to create a different kind of result, a different outcome.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing so openly and freely on today's episode, Chandra.
Cool.
I will look forward to having you on the future episodes and hanging out with you at our Basic Bananas events and workshops and everything else. Yeah. So thanks again.
See you soon.
Woohoo.
Bye.
Rocket. To get more from Basic Bananas and to learn new ways to grow your business with clever marketing, visit basicbananas.com.